This Friday is the first Friday of the month, and I ask that you please sign up in the vestibule for an hour of adoration before the Blessed Sacrament for the all-night vigil this coming Friday. The epistle appointed to be read for the seventh Sunday after Pentecost is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, I speak a human thing because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members to serve uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, so now yield your members to serve justice unto sanctification. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free men to justice. What fruit, therefore, had you then in those things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of them is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto sanctification, in the end life everlasting. For the wages of sin is death, but the grace of God life everlasting in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the Holy Gospel, it's taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 7. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in the clothing of sheep, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. By their fruits you shall know them. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, and the evil tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can an evil tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit shall be cut down and shall be cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not every one that saith to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father who is in heaven, he shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. What fruit had you then in those things of which you are now ashamed? These words are taken from today's epistle. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As you may know, one of the first persecutors of the church was a man who would become a great saint and a pillar of the church. Saul, as he was known before his conversion, was determined to utterly annihilate the newfound religion of Christianity. He was so determined that the Acts of the Apostles describe him as breathing out threatenings of slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. As a matter of fact, Saul went to the high priest, the Jewish high priest in Jerusalem, to obtain legal documents to arrest the followers of Christ. The Acts of the Apostles says he made havoc on the church, entering in from house to house and dragging away men and women, committing them to prison. With this purpose in mind, he and a few soldiers were one day traveling on a road to a city called Damascus. And in Damascus, he was to round up all the Christians and present them to be prosecuted. But before Saul arrived at Damascus, he was struck down by a brilliant light and was knocked off his horse. As he lay on the ground, he heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And Saul, who was trembling and astonished, asked, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the voice said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." This marked the turning point in Saul's life. He spent the rest of his life championing the very religion he had persecuted. And through his labors and sufferings on behalf of the church, Saul became the great Saint Paul. He was the apostle to the Gentiles and a zealous missionary. And during his missionary journeys, he wrote letters to the newly converted Christians from the different areas in the East. He wrote to the Christians of Rome, Corinth, Ephesus, and Thessalonica, to name just a few of the cities. Almost every Sunday, we read a little portion of those letters or epistles at Mass. For example, this morning we read a part of his letter to the Romans. During his travels, St. Paul suffered much in preaching the gospel of Christ. He preached the divinity of Christ with such fire and zeal that upon his return from Jerusalem, he incurred the anger of the Jews. In the midst of a riot started by the Jews, St. Paul was arrested by the Roman officials. He was taken to Caesarea, where he was kept in prison and put on trial. It is interesting to note that his imprisonment by the Romans saved him from the wrath of the Jews, who certainly would have murdered him. Now, St. Paul was a Roman citizen. And as a Roman citizen, he had the right to appeal to Caesar for judgment. And in the course of the trial, he did appeal to Caesar. He thus was taken to Rome to be tried as a citizen of Rome. Now, going to Rome was one of St. Paul's desires. In fact, in his first chapter of his letter to the Romans, St. Paul speaks of the great faith of the Roman people. Their faith was so strong because of the hard work of St. Peter, who had traveled to Rome and instilled a love for Christ in the people there. As a matter of fact, their faith was spoken of in the whole world, and St. Paul longed to be with the Christians of Rome that his own faith might be strengthened. And thus, he was filled with joy now that he was being taken there. Now, as I mentioned, St. Paul wrote one of his letters to the Christians of Rome. And it was part of this letter which we just read. This morning's epistle contains a very important message. Even though this letter was written almost 2,000 years ago to the people of Rome, the message still applies to us today. Rome was a pagan nation, and her inhabitants led lives of sin and impurity. But after St. Peter converted the Romans, their faith was strong. And so St. Paul commends the Romans for having become servants of God after having once served sin. He says, "What fruit had you then in those sins of which you are now ashamed?" In other words, their sins were a source of shame and led them away from God. St. Paul was acknowledging that the Romans had changed their ways. They were once pagans whose lives were characterized by sin. And this is the message that is important for us today, that the Romans were ashamed of their sinful ways. In a certain sense, this is more important for us today than it was at the time it was written. Why is it important? It is important because we are talking about the life of grace versus the life of sin. And the life of sin is not life at all. It is spiritual death. I believe that all too often people today, even among traditional Catholics, do not take sin seriously. They do not understand or value the state of grace as they should. Nor do they think about how much sin offends the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Many fall into sin because they are too attached to the occasions that lead them into sin. They do not firmly resolve to avoid the near occasions of sin, and thus they flirt with temptation and they trifle with God's grace. But do you know what will happen if people become insensitive to God's grace? They will eventually become hardened to sin. They will move further and further away from God. And if God forbid, they were to die in a state of unrepentant mortal sin, they will go to hell. This is a hard thing to hear, but it is the truth. It is a truth we should all keep before our eyes. You see, hell is not only a manifestation of God's justice, it is also a proof of His mercy. For a healthy fear of hell can keep souls from sin. In today's gospel, our Lord speaks about false prophets or teachers. The clergy of the new church today are false teachers. For the most part, they do not speak of hell to their people. They do not because they are afraid to offend the people by saying there is a hell and that people do go there. People do not like to hear this. They do not like to hear that there is a hell, and it is very real. But what is more offensive is to hide the truth, because by hiding the truth, the clergy, in a certain sense, further encourage those who offend our Lord. By hiding the truth, they warp the conscience of their followers. And the people easily fall into sin. My dear friends, we must take sin seriously and be reasonably ashamed of our past sins. Parents, you must instill in your children a hatred for sin and a love for virtue, especially purity. Teach your children that our Lord is gravely offended by grievous sin. Teenagers and adults, you must realize the great evil of sin and its many consequences. There is a hell, even though the world and the new church would tell you otherwise. Grace and sin do matter. They are the only things that matter, for they determine where you will spend eternity. And so I urge you, have a sorrow for your sins because they offend God, who is all loving and all good. Be sorry then for your sins and be resolved to hate sin and avoid its occasion. My dear faithful, we must avoid the attitude of the world when it comes to offending God. Do not be casual about having sin on your soul. If you have the misfortune of falling into mortal sin, go to confession as soon as possible. Realize that mortal sin is the greatest of evils and that it leads souls to an eternity of misery. And so resolve to avoid mortal sin, no matter what it may cost you. Think about these things often, especially when you examine your conscience. We know that once St. Paul became a Christian, he repented for having persecuted the church. His shame for his sins led him to an even greater love of God and a stronger faith, just as the shame of the early Christians of Rome had done. And so it must be with us. Let us strive then to love God with our whole heart and soul, to despise sin and avoid its occasions, ever mindful of the words which St. Paul wrote to the Romans, "The wages of sin is death, but the grace of God is life everlasting." God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.